Hello and welcome to the WCU Podcast Podcast. My name is Josh Thompson.
I am Patrick Frazier.
I am Scott Cooper.
And I am Adam Ray.
Welcome to the new edition of the WCU Podcast. We are back for the first time in several years, 2 years almost exactly, since our last show. So there's a couple things we want to catch you up on. Number one being that we have added a third new permanent co-host, Patrick.
We have. So we'd like to welcome missions counselor Scott Cooper into the mix as a member of the podcast. Yes.
I had to start off that clap. Thank you. Thank you. I am glad to be a part of this podcast and look forward to making a lot of great things towards this podcast as well, too.
All right. So just a quick reintroduction. Again, my name is Josh. I'm the director of New Student Orientation here. Patrick?
My name is Patrick Frazier. I am the Associate Director for Marketing and Recruitment for Undergraduate Admissions.
My name is Scott Cooper. I'm one of the Assistant Directors of Admissions here at Western for Freshman Admissions.
And our counselor spotlight this week, this month, is going to be Adam Ray. Adam, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, happy to be here. Once again, I'm Adam Ray. I am an Assistant Director in our Undergraduate Admissions Office, and I work with first-year students as well. So
it has been a couple of years, and welcome, Adam. We're glad you're joining us on the show today. Before we dive into kind of what makes you you, let's chat about a little bit about the last 2 years and things that we may have missed since the last show. We've narrowed the list down to five really important things we think you should know about, starting with number five, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which WCU participated in for the second time.
Yeah, it was the second time in 5 years that we'd been a member of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's a rare honor for a marching band to be invited back so quickly after being in it previously. But we sent over 500 students and a plethora of guests with them to New York for the Macy's Parade. They had a great time in New York, got to do a lot of neat sightseeing adventures while they were there. A wonderful and amazing experience for our students.
There's also a little mini documentary they made while up there that is also on our website and also through YouTube as well, too. So if you just want to see the experiences that they documented while they were at Macy's, definitely go check them out.
You would joke that this could be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and for a lot of these kids, it is. However, for Western, it's becoming quite routine to be invited to be part of national spotlights for the Pride of the Mountain Marching Band between the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, the Rose Bowl Parade. Over the last decade or so, Western's marching band has really been all over the map.
So be sure to check out the Pride of the Mountains online at prideofmountains.com. They're also have on YouTube channels, have numerous videos on YouTube of their performances. Don't forget basketball season. You also have Purple Thunder to check out, which is a combination of the drumline, cheerleaders, and dance team. So a lot of different ways to check out our marching band students throughout the year.
Number four on our list of things that happened over the last several years as the podcasts were hibernating away. Number four is actually something that's going on right now, Adam. That's the new campus entrance construction.
Yes, so we are very excited to see this plan come to fruition. We've seen some pictures of what it's supposed to look like, and I'm very excited to see whenever it actually exists. So,
now, Adam and Patrick, you guys both locals, grew up in and around Cullowhee and Silva and in the area, so have seen a little bit of the transformation just over the course of your time as students before you worked here, and then over the course of your life as your parents had worked here. So tell us a little bit about kind of your frame of reference for the beginning of campus and from its change from as early as you can remember to now.
Yeah, so campus has changed quite a bit. And I mean, even for our alumni listening, they might even remember driving in on Old Cullowhee Road, coming in what's now considered the backside of campus. But when you come down the four lane into campus, if you weren't looking for the campus, you could drive right by it and never know it existed. There's no real signage other than one highway sign saying Western Carolina University. So it just kind of looks like a bunch of buildings off to the side without any real clear indication that a university is actually here.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Growing up here in Cullowhee, passing the 107 entrance to campus, you just know that that's the entrance to campus, but there's really no other landmark that would kind of distinguish it as so. So growing up, there's that piece to it. And I can imagine our alumni and other individuals who come to visit campus will now be 100% sure that they are at the entrance to Western Carolina University.
Yeah, I've always joked you can't find WCU on accident. You have to know where you're going, and you got to know how to get here. But this will be really exciting. We think it'll be a brand new kind of step forward in welcoming folks to the university, which leads into our number three topic of things that have happened over the last 2 years, which affects both of our offices of admissions and new student orientation directly, and that things have been moving. And so we want to make sure we welcome folks when they first get here to campus, because the first thing they see is actually the Office of Admission now.
Yeah, the Office of Admissions is now located in the H.F. Robinson Building, the Administration Building, or as alumni call it, the White House Building on campus. We now are in the ground floor where Mountain Heritage Center used to be. It's taken a couple years to get here, but we're real appreciative of all the hard work our facilities management folks did in preparing this space for us. For any new students coming in, it is quite the experience compared to where we used to be in Camp Building. From our presentation room to just our meeting rooms with families, the lobby itself, really welcoming and a great atmosphere for everyone involved.
There has been nothing but positive reviews from this new location as well, too. Soon as you come in, you will feel at home, especially with the new family meeting rooms that we have in place at the HFR building. So just like Patrick said, if you have the opportunity, please come on by and take a tour with us at Western.
I think it'll be a lot easier for folks to find, and one of the things that when you come to visit us, we want it to be a really pleasant experience, and it's hard for that visit to be pleasant if you get started on the wrong foot. So now, as soon as you pull onto campus, when you see that big, beautiful new campus entrance that's under construction currently, the first thing you see is the Catamount statue and the traffic circle, and then you can see through the windows, whether it's day or night, it's a giant purple sign that's pretty much always shining, and you come straight in. So there's designated parking, there's lots of signage, it's really easy to find where you're going for a tour, and that was intentional to make the visitor experience as pleasant as possible, because we understand that there's a lot of folks who are coming to visit us from all over North Carolina, being the westernmost school in the system, that folks will have to drive by a number of other schools, and you have to make an intention to come visit us. So when you come visit us, we want it to be that pleasant experience, which is one of the big changes in this move. And Patrick, you mentioned the presentation room, and I will tell you, the presentation room here is fantastic. And it's not just that our incoming students are benefiting from it when they come for a tour, but I've also found that some folks all over campus have been using the presentation room for different uses as well.
Yeah, the presentation room is a nice feature that, you know, we had a room in the past, but it could only hold about 30 people, so this new space allows us to hold closer to 60 guests in the room. We've been working real closely with University Marketing Department on a new video to kind of highlight the campus and the community as well that students will get to experience. A lot of neat features and things that we're highlighting on campus in that presentation component. But then one of the things that's kind of the ripple effect of admissions moving into HFR is it also caused some other departments to move around campus as well. Josh, your department was one of the first to get to move after we moved.
Yeah, and couldn't be more excited to be in your previously vacated location. So from my time in admissions and moved over to Killian Annex, which is right smack dab in the middle of campus when I became the orientation director, and then got to move right back almost to the exact same office just across the hall this time. So I'm super excited that orientation has moved into camp, which is where admissions used to be. It's very easy to find. You pretty much take a right off the traffic circle, and then there's a stoplight. You hang a right, and boom, there we are. One of the other offices that moved, which has a greater impact, I think, on students than orientation does throughout the year, is the financial aid office has also moved from Killian Annex to the camp building. And so there really is, it's important for students to know where to find camp building, because there's a number of important offices that now exist over in that direction. When you talk about financial aid and you talk about parking, new student orientation, if you are just coming to visit, you can do your visitor parking stuff over there. So there's a number of different things you can get taken care of over at Camp Building, but it has been fantastic. There was not too much done. I will have to say, you guys left the building in pretty decent shape. So we slapped some paint on it, and really that's all we had to do. And it is a beautiful, huge space. We have plenty of room for for folks to come in and visit. And I think it's going to be a really positive thing for the university. Whether you live on campus or whether you're commuting, if you're a student that lives off campus, there's ample amount of parking around the office. There's designated financial aid spots. There's designated parking spots. There's designated orientation spots. So there is a lot of place to kind of come and see us, whether it's for 10, 15 minutes, or hopefully you never have to come over there for a couple hours. But we'll get you taken care of. And that started the shuffle all over campus. So when orientation and financial aid moved out of Killian Annex, there was a whole lot of space available. So the Office of Accessibility Resources moved into where orientation was housed in Killian Annex, which was just right across the hall from where they used to be. So that's where they have all of their accessible test rooms. That's where they have all of their areas where you can go and get that taken care of. You looked at student accounts is now located in the main area. So when you walk into Killian Annex, where the former one-stop was, is now the student accounts cashier's desk. So if students need to make a cash or check payment, that can be done at their front desk area. And then the advising center, where students get their schedule made, learn about classes, all that kind of good stuff, is now located on the first floor of Killian Annex, down from the second floor, which is moved into financial aid's old space, which opened up a space on the second floor, which now is where the math tutoring center is. So you can Killian Annex now much more academically focused as opposed to student affairs focused. You're looking at advising, OAR, tutoring center. So there's a lot of student accounts, kind of all more business office, and then orientation, financial aid, admissions, kind of on the same side of campus now. We all report under the same umbrella. So it makes a lot more sense internally and externally after all of these moves. But if you haven't been here for a while and you're looking to see some old friends, then you may need to go to a new building just to make sure you get to the right spot.
Yeah, and the moves aren't over yet. Coming up this spring, the Office of Student Affairs will be moving into HFR as well. They're going to be moving onto the second floor of HFR. So still a lot of moving happening, a lot of changes going on campus, which kind of leads us into number two on our list.
So in the fall of 2019, we actually opened the Laverne Hamlin Allen Residence Hall on campus. For those of you who recall where residence halls are on campus, it actually sits across the street from Harrell Hall. Laverne, or Allen Hall, as it's referred to on campus, is a fantastic building. On freshman move-in day, I had the opportunity to work in that general area where Harrell and Albright Benton sit. And then Allen, of course, sits diagonal from Albright Benton. Having a chance to kind of go in and take a look at what those the new first-year students moving into that residence hall are going to benefit from and are benefiting from now, I was reminded of my time as a first-year student, or my freshman year back in 2009, when Balsam Residence Hall had opened and I was stepping into it for the very first time. So I had that bittersweet moment of, wow, I remember being in the shoes of these students coming in on campus. So
another beautiful thing about Allen Hall is two things major. You're literally right across from the second cafeteria on campus, which is Brown Hall, where the Steak and Shake and Starbucks is. But the most historical thing about Allen Hall is it is named after our first African-American graduate here at Western Carolina University. So not only is it groundbreaking, but it's also motivational for future WCU students of diverse ethnicities to make an impact on Western Carolina's campus.
And it's also fitting that it is next to what some students remember as Central Hall, but has been renamed as Judah Culla Hall, mm-hmm. In honor of our connection with the Cherokee Native American tribe. Show our appreciation for their heritage. So it's almost like a heritage section of campus that's being formed on what a lot of people consider the older part of campus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Allen Hall is going to be super nice. It is super nice. The main kind of difference in it is all first-year students, and so all incoming students, a portion of them, they're all required to live on campus, and a portion of those will end up in Allen Hall, as Scott and Walker Hall, which have been here since the late 60s, are coming down this May. So those have been traditional first-year buildings. Allen now is light years ahead of where Scott and Walker were. So if you're an incoming first-year student now, the accommodations of Allen are just, it's night and day from what you would get in Scott Hall. So There's never been a better time to be a Catamount, specifically a first-year Catamount, because you get to move into this brand-new, beautiful building of Allen Hall instead of the old standard of Scott and Walker, which are grand old buildings, but the key word there being old. So we're excited that those two are coming down this May as we make way for even more first-year housing in the future.
Yeah, once Scott and Walker come down, there'll be three new residence halls built in their place that first-year students will be able to live once again. So a lot of changes happening on campus in terms of residence halls. Change seems to be a constant theme on campus these days, all the way up to the very top. Since our last podcast, we did a farewell to the Belcher era in 2018. But we have a new era in Cullowhee now, and so Chancellor Brown is our first female chancellor of the university and number one on our countdown of changes that have taken place.
Yeah, we're excited that Chancellor Brown's official installation is going to be coming up next month in March. So you'll be looking at a full week-long kind of celebration as we officially welcome Chancellor Brown, although I say we officially welcome her. She's really been here since middle of June of this past 2019. She's come in and she's been all over the place. She's done tours. She's met alumni. And one thing I think that folks have gathered about Chancellor Brown is that she cares what folks are thinking, and she really has gone out of her way to meet as many alumni and students as she possibly could.
I concur with that as well. I had the chance to attend a presentation more or less in our Fine and Performing Arts building, and had the chance to also sit down and chat with her at a sort of an open forum. And one of the things that she really wanted to know and understand is, how does admissions work here at Western Carolina University? And I had that opportunity to really go in depth about who we are as an office. So I was, from that point on and even up until now, I'm eager to see where we are going with her in the leadership role. So,
yeah, it's exciting times in Cullowhee with a new chancellor and a first gentleman on campus. And it's going to be exciting to see where they lead us over the next several years as we go through multiple changes on campus. Everything from a new steam plant in the works to new residence halls to new academic buildings. She's going to have her hands full, but I think it's going to be interesting and exciting to see what all happens under her leadership.
Yeah, and I think one takeaway is that Chancellor Brown is prepared for that. I think that she came in at a great time to really be able to take the baton from the Chancellor Belcher era, which was highly successful, and now she'll get to blaze her own path. And I think that from everything that we've gathered, we really look forward to seeing what she does, and she's more than capable of kind of taking us in an exciting new direction as a university. So those are the five things that have changed most since the previous Podcats podcast. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we get back, we're going to talk to Adam Ray, our counselor spotlight, and then follow that up with a couple of student spotlights from our Entourage tour guide staff. Stick with us, and we'll be back right after this. Future Catamounts, don't forget that your chance to come and visit Western Carolina University is coming up on Saturday, March the 21st, as we host our final open house event of the academic school year. So make sure you come out and join us for a tour, get a chance to meet with professors from your areas of study, a chance to meet with campus partners, and much more. So come and join us on Saturday, March 21st, for our final open house of the academic year.
And welcome back as we dive right into our counselor spotlight. Our first counselor that's going to be part of this broadcast for the new year and new format is Adam Ray. Adam's kind of been on the show with us already today, but we're going to highlight him specifically, his time here at WCU as a student and as an employee. So Adam, we'll just kind of start off letting you kind of do a basic introduction of yourself, and then we'll dive in.
Yes. So I'm Adam Ray, and as Patrick and Josh and Scott, I'm sure they would all agree with this, I'm not too terribly interesting as a human being.
Oh, stop it.
I would have to agree with him on that.
But I'm proud to say that I'm a two-time alum of Western Carolina University. I graduated from undergrad with 2 degrees, one in history and one in social science education. And then spent some time in between my undergrad and graduate school years traveling Europe. So I lived in Munich for 3 months, had the time of my life there, and then decided that I wanted to be involved in higher education, and I wanted to work at Western Carolina University. So I spent my graduate years in the Higher Education Student Affairs Program at Western Carolina, and had an assistantship in the Office of the Provost, as well as the Center for Service Learning and Community Engagement.
Nice, you nailed that new title.
Yes.
Recently, yeah. Under Dr. Perry has recently, yes, guided that department through a name change. Yeah. Killed it.
So following my graduate years, I had I was thankful to have the opportunity to work in the Office of Undergraduate Admissions, and I find myself here now working with first-year students. So.
Yeah, he tried to leave us for a couple months, and then we brought him back in. Yeah. You were on the transfer side at one time, and mm-hmm. now you're on the freshman side.
Correct.
Which did you enjoy more, freshman or transfer recruitment?
Note that your previous and current supervisors in the Office of Admission are probably listening, so don't burn your bridges, pal.
In terms of population, I enjoy recruiting all students.
Nailed it.
But outside of work, you can oftentimes find me running around campus. That seems to be the usual way that people recognize me. Thankfully,
Speaking of running, you did a good job running away from that previous question.
He has a point there.
No, I give you a hard time. But so, Adam, so running around campus, so what made you want to stick around from being an undergrad? You know, grew up here. So you're a local student, went to Smoky Mountain High School. Mm-hmm. Kind of what made you want to stick around and work for Western specifically?
So I can say growing up here in beautiful Cullowhee, North Carolina, I truly believe and am a huge advocate of the statement, we are a hidden gem in the mountains of Western North Carolina. Navigating going or applying to colleges when I was in high school, I'm a first-generation college student, so more or less all of that was new to me. I had some connections here at Western, and I knew when I was in high school that I wanted to teach. I wanted to be in education in some form or fashion. And thankfully, I applied to Western, had the opportunity to navigate my way through our College of Education. I had an incredible experience, not only in my academic focus, but student affairs focus. So I had the opportunity to work as an orientation counselor. I had also had the chance to work as a resident assistant. And Josh was working for residential living when That's I was right. a resident assistant. So I actually knew Josh well before I finished undergrad and grad school and post-grad. So, yes, I would say those experiences combined with my opportunities living in Balsam Residence Hall and in the Honors College. I worked in the Campus Recreation Center as well, had an incredible experience in the summers doing that work. All of those combined helped shape and mold my undergraduate experience in such a way that words truly can't capture the experience and the positive moments and just the amounts of encouragement that I had as a student here at Western Carolina University. Knowing that had a lot to do with where I wanted to find myself. And so as a result, I found myself here, and it's given me the opportunity to help present that experience to students and encourage them to come to Western and also hopefully have a very similar experience to what I had.
It's ironic, Adam, the one place you didn't work as a student, you worked in Res Life, you worked in Campus Rec, you worked in orientation. So all these places that have all these investment, the one place that you didn't work as an undergrad was actually right here in the Office of Admission.
Yes. Once again, I'm extremely thankful that navigating job one after grad school, I found myself in admissions. And now thinking and putting it in the big picture, I think this is a home for me that I didn't even know about. Mm-hmm. And so much so that I love the work that I do. Having a chance to travel the country and more or less spread the good word about Western Carolina University and give my lived experience, it's an opportunity that I'm incredibly thankful for.
Yeah, and I think those previous experiences outside of the Office of Admission, I've always believed that would help shape and helps create a better admissions counselor and a better recruiter, because you can draw on those things. You don't just have that experience of admissions. You have the experience of having worked in a number of different areas, which leads you to kind of better connect with future students and things like that.
So just to get into more fun details about you, Adam, we got the work questions out of the way. Let's get into more fun details about you. So you say you like to run a lot. Is there a particular sport that you may like that consists of running a lot?
Soccer. I'm a huge soccer fan. specifically of the teams Bayern Munich and Atlanta United.
Atlanta United? Are you not excited about the Charlotte expansion?
I'm glad that Charlotte's getting a team.
Yeah. Are you going to be cheering for Charlotte?
We're gonna convert Adam.
That's I'm glad Charlotte's getting a team.
My mission is going to be to convert Adam because I'm a big soccer fan as well. And so Charlotte getting an MLS team is going to be great. And so don't you worry, dear listeners, that I will try and convert Adam from the Atlanta United faithful into a Charlotte, whatever the heck they turn into, the Charlotte Tepper faithful. So
also on top of that, just some more things that we would like to get to know about you. I know you like music. Is there any particular favorite musicians, favorite songs that you like, such as Old Town Road?
I do not like that song. However, I would say, Scott, you put it nicely one day, if I recall, that I have a very broad range in terms of my musical interests. And I would agree with that. However, if I had to identify a specific genre that I enjoy more than others, it would be the decade in which I never lived, the 1980s. I'm a huge fan of everything linked with the 1980s, style, culture, and music especially. Even though I never lived it.
Adam, you got swag. I've seen you dress before, man. You got swag. I wouldn't say your swag is 1980s. You
Some of my favorite artists from the 1980s include George Michael, Tears for Fears, Journey, and Billy Joel.
Nice.
That is amazing.
Well, and, you know, that comes in real handy as we educate our students that aren't familiar with music from the 80s and even music from the 90s and terms of things that they missed and should be aware of, just helping them in life in general.
Fighting the good fight on the culture war there.
Talking about your kind of experience in the area and everything, what is it about growing up in this area that makes you appreciate working at WCU?
So one of the things that we, or myself and others in the room can also concur, is that we do our best to portray Western as an institution that is very close-knit. There is a community focus in everything that we do. And I 110% agree and can say that that is the case. When I was a student here in my undergraduate years, I do not recall a single moment in which I did not feel supported in anything that I did. For essentially, one of the things that I recall very, very clearly is having a chance to work with professors on undergraduate research opportunities. The concept of undergraduate research to me in undergrad was foreign. I didn't even know where to start. Sure. I had no idea where to even navigate that route. But I had professors and even staff members helping me connect with that outlet. On top of that, all of my mentors that I had, or more or less, the mentors that I had sought help and assistance and support through, were super encouraging of everything that I wanted to achieve, both in undergrad and after that. And it was just building those relationships, having that opportunity to work with individuals on campus. Yeah, I mean, that paints the picture. So
I know you've talked before about your appreciation for different professors that you had. And one in particular is currently serving as our interim provost. What would you say that you appreciated most about having Dr. Starnes as a professor in the classroom?
Yes. So one of the things that I very vividly recall from the two classes that I took with Dr. Starnes was the quote, "Words mean things." I have made that a motto and life motto, for lack of better words, and making sure that the words that I use are actually the appropriate words and mean what they mean in the sentences that I say. So, but outside of that, I think that attending classes and just having Dr. Starnes as a mentor, at the end of the day, I learned just so many things about North Carolina history, because I did take a North Carolina history class with him. Unfortunately, I don't remember everything that I learned, but I do remember a lot of things. And outside of that, just having the chance to speak with him outside of the classroom, just about life goals and yeah, having his support in all areas, that was a key factor in the situation.
Adam, one more thing before we get you go. So I know we talked a little bit about music. We're talking a lot of off campus and or outside of job stuff. And I know one of the things that we connect over is that we are big Disney fans. And through that Disney kind of like passion, discovered another passion of yours, which would be board games. So tell us a little bit about some of your favorite board games and some fun stuff that you kind of get into when you've got some downtime. Not that you get a lot of it.
Absolutely. So recently, and I would say, gosh, we're coming up on a year at this point.
Yeah.
Josh actually introduced me to a board game called Villainous, and it essentially allows you to select one of Disney's more iconic villain characters, and your goal is to achieve a certain task. So I'll give the example of a character that I have yet to win with because Josh prevents me from winning every single time. It's Hades. And for those of you who recall the lovely animated film that Disney came out with, Hercules, the goal for Hades is to be the supreme being among all the Greek mythological gods and goddesses. And so in order for him to achieve that goal, he recruits the lovely help of the Titans. So in this board game, you have to move Titans from one end of your specific board to the other end without them being or eliminated and or prevented from doing so. That kind of gives you just a sense as to what you can do. That's just one of the characters. There's a new expansion coming out in March that I've already purchased, and I'm eager to try it out. But at the end of the day, just having that outlet, having the ability to play board games, especially with colleagues on campus, and having that networking opportunity is fantastic. One of these days I will win with Hades, despite Josh's best efforts. But
over my dead body. But no, I think it's important, and one of the reasons we want to get to know you outside of the job is that so students will understand that there is stuff outside of the job that or stuff outside of the university. We always tell people that if the only thing you're doing is university related, you're kind of missing the whole point of college. We want you to get out. We want you to explore. We want you to make connections. And so by kind of showing our personality, talking about whether it's Bayern or we're talking about 80s music or board games or Disney, there's ways for you to connect with the folks that are working here outside of the job as well. So we're all actually people. Our boss, Phil, likes to say when at orientation that there's no better resource for incoming students than the faculty and staff who are here. You just don't think to ask us. So like if you have a car breakdown, do you have any local mechanics you trust? Yeah, absolutely I do. Like, do you know, like, what can I get into? I'm into this. Or is there a place where I can go and watch soccer? Is there a board game club? So like there's all kinds of awesome stuff that if you're into and you're a student, it's good to know what the faculty and staff are into outside of the job.
Yeah, so Adam, thank you for joining us today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be highlighting two of our Entourage seniors, do a kind of a quick student spotlight, let you know a little bit about some of our students here on campus. But I'll let you kind of take us off the air as we head into break, Adam.
Yeah, thank you for having me here today, and go Cats!
Our May 1 tuition and housing deposit deadline is rapidly approaching. If you are an accepted incoming freshman student, you must pay the $150 housing and $150 tuition deposits by May 1st. To pay the deposits, go online to your MyWCU portal at mywcu.wcu.edu. And welcome back from our commercial break. Once we've wrapped up our counselor spotlight with Adam Ray, now we're diving into one of our newer features for the podcast, doing a student spotlight with two of our senior Entourage members, Jade Hollers and Talia Edmison, and we'll give them a moment to introduce themselves to everyone.
I'm Jade Hollers. I'm a senior here. I'm majoring in biology and minoring in chemistry. I'm from a lot of places, but I consider Mebane, North Carolina to be my home.
Hey, I'm Talia. I'm a senior here at Western as well, majoring in social work, and my home is located in the small town of Lenoir, North Carolina.
So, Jade and Talia, tell us a little bit about your journey here at Western Carolina. Let's talk first about how you became members of Entourage.
So, one of my old church friends from back home, Shelby, she was actually a tour guide, and I noticed, and so I posted on the Residential Living pages, actually, and Kevin Kett gave me Patrick's email, and then I emailed him about an application, and then he emailed me the application, and I filled it out, and that was the beginning of my time with Entourage.
And at what point in your college career was that?
That was my second semester of my freshman year.
And now you're serving as Entourage president.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
We pay her to say that.
Yep. Mine wasn't as fun to find this job. I was just walking to lunch one day, and I walked into the cafe, and they had a little booth, and I was like, huh, I wonder what that is. So I signed up for an interview, and then when I went, I was like, oh, wow, I wish I would have known about this job a lot sooner.
So tell me, do you guys remember your, did you ever come on a tour? Did you come to Western kind of sight unseen?
No, I came on a tour. I think I came my junior year in high school. And it was kind of early on. I didn't really know where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do. And I noticed that Western was small, but not small, too small. And so I was like, well, let me just go tour. And plus the colors are purple and gold, and purple is amazing.
Everybody looks good in purple.
Yes, everyone.
It's a fact.
Even Dawson, who's colorblind. Mm-hmm. He has never seen like the color purple in his entire life. After coming here and touring, I was like, you know what? That's where I want to go, and this is the only place I applied to.
Yeah, so I had actually toured at the junior, my summer going into my senior year, or my junior year, sorry. And then the second that I stepped on campus, I realized that this was definitely somewhere I wanted to be. And then my high school toured again as a group my senior year, and so I decided, why not come back for a second time? And then it just continued to feel more like home. I applied to other schools only because my mom said you need to apply to more than just one, but as soon as I got the acceptance letter here, I kind of just threw the rest in the trash. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I like the small environment and the welcoming community that you have here too.
So if you had to give advice to the younger cats, as we would like to call them, the freshmen, the sophomores that will be listening to this podcast, what would you give them one quick tip about your experience at Western on how to continue to be successful, get through things of that nature?
My biggest piece of advice would definitely get involved. Get involved with any clubs and organizations that you can, because I know that I have met some of my closest friends through the Entourage organization. And just continue to be involved and go to the different events on campus, meet new people, make those connections, make those friends. I think that that's a really big aspect of it, so you have that community throughout your time here.
No, Jade, you're not getting out of this too. You get to answer these questions as well. It's not a one-sided show here.
For those who aren't watching along, because nobody is, because this is audio only, Jade did a thumbs up and thought that
yes.
was going to suggest.
Yeah.
I thought y'all could see that. It's okay.
She's here, though.
I am here.
Live streaming comes later.
What am I answering?
If there's one piece of advice you could give to freshmen and sophomores that are coming up just through stuff that you've experienced through college, what would you say? Something that goes unnoticed.
My thing would just be like, don't be afraid. I know that you might think things are lame or people are going to judge you or you're scared to find out like who you are because you may think you know who you are coming into college. But college is definitely a place where you're going to learn and grow, and you need people around you in order to do that. So don't be afraid to go and, like, get out of your comfort zone.
So thinking of your time here at WC, what is a class that you've been able to take that has been meaningful to you or that's been different for you? I mean, Josh and I, we both had the experience of taking bowling as students, mm-hmm. Not your typical class. Mm-hmm. So what's a class like if you had to recommend one just kind of off the wall or a class that you really enjoyed to future students, what mm-hmm. would you recommend?
I'm actually currently in a ski class. So every Monday night I go skiing from about 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that's for a total of 6 weeks. Yeah, I know it's a long time, isn't it?
I wish y'all could have saw my face when she said that.
Scott's thinking he wants to go sign up for the skiing class.
Absolutely now. Not from those 6 to 10 p.m. Absolutely
hey,
not.
Hey, well, class ends at 8, but you have the opportunity to continue until 10. Your skills.
I will watch.
Yes.
Even though I skied back when I was in 8th grade, and I was pretty legit at it. Besides
well,
that, no.
I have never skied.
I could have been.
I've never skied in my life until this class, and now we're about to go in the Black Diamond, so.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
No. Mm-mm.
We're going to see you, like, on your next tour. You're not going to be all bandaged up. Or...
I'm probably going to have a knee brace on.
Mm. Well, you know, you've got 2 years to prepare for the Winter Olympics, so you're, now that you've
yeah,
taken
no.
class, you can go ahead and start preparing for the Olympics next.
I mean, you've got to think. If you went from never skied before...
To Black Diamond.
6 weeks ago into now Black Diamond. If you keep progressing at that rate, then you're ready.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of like, just go at it and try. And since I haven't like fell a lot yet. They're just like, oh, keep going, keep going. I'm really just scared.
I'm scared for you and for the listeners that are currently listening right now. Black Diamond is, I believe, the hardest.
Yeah.
The hardest one because they wouldn't let us do it. Yeah, when we were younger.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the harder ones, especially in this area at Cataluchi Ski Resort. That is the hardest one there at Cataluchi.
Mm-hmm.
Talia, what's a class that you took that you would recommend for students that's kind of different or off-the-wall type class?
Well, I haven't ever taken any of the off-the-wall classes, like the skiing, snowboard, and canoe, and that kind of thing, or anything as fun as bowling. Unfortunately, that's not offered anymore. Otherwise, that would have been a class I took. I think that one of my favorite classes that I have been in is one of the classes I took freshman year, the first-year seminar class. That was actually really fun to take. At least for my class anyways, we had a good group of students who got along really well. We communicated. We did a lot of activities that kind of got us ready for the college life and got us showed us how to get more involved and showed us more of the fun aspects of campus. And we did like a scavenger hunt across the campus, which I thought was really cool, considering I ran through the fountain and right as it was going down and I slipped and fell on my butt. That was an adventure, like my second week here. Then also ran under the clock tower too.
Oh,
yeah, that was an adventure
so
too.
So when were you supposed to graduate?
I'm supposed to graduate on time, surprisingly.
Girl, you better knock on some wood.
I know.
Did you run through the catafount?
Before I ran under the clock tower, yeah.
Maybe it cancels out.
Hopefully, yeah. But that was really fun. It was a good class to take. I met a lot of friends through that. And then some of my core classes for social work have been really good to take, too.
Well, I mean, I could give you a nerdy answer, but
I mean, I didn't take any of the out-of-there classes, but I took some good ones.
So, guys, tell me, what is a reason somebody should come and join us? We've got a couple of open houses coming up here over the next month or so. So tell us why somebody should come out of their way, because you guys are really instrumental in making open house happen. Why should somebody take time on their Saturday to come visit?
So open houses involve a lot of things that you don't get to do while just on a campus tour. So yes, you get to see campus all around campus when you come for a tour, but open house allows you to talk to professors in the department of your choosing. And that's all across the board. So that can go from bio to chem to any of the arts. And even if you're undecided, they even have a discussion about that as well. So it can kind of help you make a decision or at least broaden your options if you don't know what's out there. So I would definitely encourage you to come to open house. Also, you get free swag. You get like a t-shirt. So I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't come.
Yeah, like she said, when you're on a campus tour, you're getting like a good foundation of everything on campus. But when you're at an open house, you're getting more interaction with the people who work in those different departments. Like you're getting to talk to the different academic departments. You're getting to talk to campus dining, residential living, orientation, university police department. You're getting all those different kind of perspectives of those different departments. And then you're also hearing from Phil Colley and Mike too. So that's a cool thing that you get. You get the interaction with them as well. And then you have a few tour guides on your tours that you get perspectives from, but then having the whole organization, you're at different tents and stuff, you're getting a more personal experience there too. You're hearing all their stories and why they chose Western and what they love about Western the most. So I think that that's something that's really cool too.
What would you guys say your favorite memory from either a tour or open house, whether it's something funny or something ridiculous, or just something fun that happened to you during one of your entourage events?
Okay, so I gave a group tour one time to a bunch of middle schoolers. So they are a little bit young, but it's never too early to think about college.
Sure.
And we were out at the academic quad. And there we have some trees that are abnormal and unusual. And I was like, okay, can we do an activity? And they were very engaged, very attentive. And I was like, let's close our eyes and spin around three times. And I was like, when you open your eyes, I was like, shake your head around. And when you look at these trees, it looks like an elephant and a giraffe. And they all did it all at the same time. And they laughed really hard afterwards. And I was like, I can't believe that happened. But it was amazing and it made me happy. So That's awesome. A fun experience.
So something that was fun for me was actually an experience. Jade and I went on a tour together one time. And it was so funny. It wasn't nothing I did personally, but we were walking and we were in the University Center. We were somewhere and we were talking and she was trying to say glass. She said, if you look through the clear mirrors the clear mirrors, and the look on all of those kids' faces was absolutely priceless, and I couldn't help but laugh. And then a other tour guide that we had that is actually a staff member now, we were on a tour, and she was making a joke about the math tutoring center, and she said, if you think that 5 + 4 is 9 like me, and you're not good at math. But she actually got it right. And so I've made that mistake a few times too, and it's just really funny to see like their interactions. But the whole clear mirrors thing was really
did you get the name of the bus that Talia just threw Jade under?
She threw her under, ran over, came back, did it a couple of times back and forth there.
Clear mirrors. That's a good one.
Those clear mirrors.
Go ahead, Scott.
No, you got it. Go ahead, Patrick.
So what's an experience outside of the classroom that's kind of your special memory of being a student at WCU? Could be something that you did in the residence halls, like just a fun experience that you had or memory that you have that, 5 years from now you'll look back on and be like, I wouldn't have had that if I hadn't been at WCU, as apparently I've stumped them.
Yeah, Jay wasn't ready for this one.
There's so many, yeah. Do you got anything?
There you go. Okay, so we haven't had much snow the past 2 years I've been here, but for the first 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, we had quite a bit of snow, and I always heard about everybody going out on campus and having like a giant snowball fight and stuff like that. Well, we kind of, stepped it up a notch. So we went over there near Norton Residence Hall, and there's a hill. Unfortunately, there's like construction going on over there right now. But there was a hill, and my friend got a blow up mattress, and we decided to use it as a sled. But this mattress could hold, 10, 15 people. Yeah.
Queen size blow up mattress.
He spent some money.
I could see Scott calculating how much.
That was a refund check move right there.
And we would kind of build a snow mound so that the air mattress would hop the hill. So like we would go up in the air. It was probably dangerous, but like you wouldn't have done it if you didn't go to
it.
There's a reason for those listening. There's a reason we require students to have health insurance on campus, and this is just one of them.
But it was pretty fun. In the end, the air mattress did pop, and we decided maybe we need some hot cocoa, and it ended our night. But it was definitely super fun. Nobody broke anything that I know of.
So a fun experience that happened to me was at the homecoming carnival about 2 years ago. There's a ride that you get in like this little cage thing and it spins around. Jade actually rode that with me this past homecoming. I actually got stuck on that. And when I was stuck, like if you move a certain way, it like goes backwards or forwards, and we actually got stuck facing the ground. I got so sick. And it was the most terrible but yet funniest experience of my life ever. And the person that was actually in there with me, she was kind of crazy, and she wanted to rock it back and forth consistently. So her rocking it and having us stuck in that, looking down at the ground in like really high elevation was kind of.
So now for homecoming each year, you're going to be eager to come back just so you can relive that experience.
Well, I mean, she clearly did it again. She got back in there again.
Yeah. Didn't scare you that much.
The guy had actually told me when me and Jade got on it was the bigger girl had to go on the outside, and was me. He said thick thighs got to go on the outside when she tried to sit on the outside. So that was.
And you got on with her knowing she'd gotten stuck?
No, I didn't know. I'm over here.
You left that part out, huh?
If I would have told her, she wouldn't have did it with me.
That's pretty bad. I hope you don't.
It's good.
Actually,
good friend.
I wanted to go on it, and you said that you would go with me, so I didn't have to go by myself. So nice try.
Oh, that's cute. That's beautiful. Yeah. Okay, so since we're talking about personal experiences, I'm not going to call it a game. It's just going to be a little quick questionnaire of some things like, what would you prefer? So just so people can know you a little bit more. So it's just going to be two things I'm going to name, and you'll say this or that, whichever one. Hamburgers or hot dogs?
Hamburger.
Hamburger.
Netflix or Hulu?
Hulu.
Netflix.
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. I can't choose Netflix no more because Friends went off. So that's not my first choice right now.
I got you. Cake or pies?
Cake.
What kind of pie are we talking about here?
Just pies in general.
So pie. Probably pie.
Okay. Funnel cakes or cotton candy?
Funnel cakes.
Can I say both?
No. Pick one. Which one would you prefer?
Cotton candy.
Okay. Football or basketball?
Football all the way. Go Cats.
Basketball. Are we this different? Really?
Yeah, okay. I guess, yeah.
Okay, and for my last question, it's about people in this office, okay? Who would you prefer as your favorite counselor? Scott Cooper or Scott Cooper?
Scott Cooper, the man with the plan.
Scooper.
Scooper.
Scooper. Yeah. Scooper. There we go.
Please disregard that, you all. I don't know who that is. But yeah, okay, I appreciate that. So just wanted to make sure the listeners can get an opportunity to know you a little bit more just with some stuff that's outside of the school realm. So thanks for that.
We only agreed on hamburgers?
Yeah.
Didn't realize we were that different.
And else? Well, you also agreed. You also agreed on Scott Cooper.
Yes.
No, Scooper. I don't know who Scooper is.
Scooper.
I don't know who that is.
Well, it's a good thing Jade's here to clarify that Jade is here.
And also, anybody that's listening on campus, when you see a picture of Jade and just know the hashtag Jade is here, just yell it out. I promise you, she will look up and see you. So she's kind of a big deal. Just want to let you guys know that Jade's here.
Thank you, Scooper.
No, I don't know who that is once again.
Well, that's going to kind of wrap up our time here today, but we want to thank Talia and Jade for taking some time out of their busy schedules to be with us here on our kind of almost inaugural podcast again as we get restarted for a new year and new format.
Yep. So thank you guys all for joining us. We'll see you next time. For Scott Cooper, the Scooper, Patrick Frazier, Jade, Talia, and Adam Ray, this is Josh Thompson. Thanks for listening, and as always, go
Cats!
Go Cats!